Morning, I'll be talking about for just a little bit on the last portion of our summer book study in James. So if you're new here, we'll be going through the book of James in the New Testament. We're currently on chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. I really appreciate all the leaders who are up here and all the different ministries, and I really appreciate how Alan came to Bob's rescue with the battery. Oh, that was pretty cool. Yeah, come on, Alan. Can you rescue me with my PowerPoint clicker that's next to the tripod, please? Notice that, like, whoops, forgot that. Quick review, we're jumping in. So we've been in the series talking about faith that works, and we've been really looking at, in some ways, what does a life look like that really reflects what Jesus' life looks like? Switch out, you're out. What does that look like? We're learning about things, right? If you're lacking any wisdom, look to God. He has lots of it. If you're in difficult times, see the big picture. God's still in control. God's still doing something beautiful. When it talks about using our resources that we have been given, to use them in ways that honor God and care for others. We looked at what it looks like to care for orphans and widows and those in distress. I looked at what it looks like to be slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to anger. Anyone still working on that one, right? Yeah, I know. I'm like, Lord, James 1:19, take down my heart and may affect my mouth. Definitely need that. Slow to speak, quick to listen. We looked at not grumbling, but loving each other. We looked at what it looks like to love everyone. And that seems like such an easy phrase. I always think, like, James is so simple. Like, it's just like, love every single person. But yet, that can be hard if we think about all the people in our life. And he talked about how God does not show favoritism. He has no favorites. Specifically, he talked about economic favoritism, where we favor the rich, kind of push away the poor, hoping that maybe the rich will help us out, as James was speaking to the audience, writing to the audience. And as Christians, there's going to be no favoritism. Amen? No favoritism. Economic, whether it's ethnic, any kind of favoritism. Because every single person on the planet, God has made, including you, and he loves you so much. We had over probably 600 people come through the back to school fair yesterday. And when you get bigger numbers, it's sometimes easier to lose that each one of those people, the moms, the dads, the kids, God made. He joyfully created. He loves them. He cares about them. And then remember that, God, when we interface and interact with other people, may we have the heartbeat of Jesus to love them. May we not get stuck in maybe family of origin frameworks for how we talk or don't talk about people. But if you've been made new in Christ, you're part of a new family. If you've been made new in Christ, you're part of a new culture. If you've been made new in Christ, you're part of a new kingdom. And that has certain rules and values that reflects the heartbeat of God. So let us love everyone we meet with the love of Jesus. And not just in thought, but James, this is what he's talking about the whole time, but with words, actions, deeds, we love those who God has loved. Let our life show that. And so this morning I want to wrap up looking at verse 13. This section, if you're reading, if you have a Bible in front of you, or maybe a digital Bible, oftentimes referred to as a prayer of faith. And I want to focus on the object of our faith, which is praying to the God of miracles. Because there's several different kinds of miracles. Things that only God can do. They're supernatural. They're not natural. They're supernatural. And I want to look on that and how that might be able to apply to our life this morning. James 5, 13 to 20. Starts off with this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wanderings will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for how you wrote and spoke to James. And he wrote this, God, to us. And Lord, can you speak to us, Holy Spirit, this morning? God, show us how to be hearers of your word, but also doers. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to look over a couple of things pretty quickly. Praying to the God of miracles. Four things I want to look at. That our God, he loves us, but he also has a lot of power, right? I mean, he's powerful. I love my son Peter, who I think is in the back right here. He always tells me, he's like, God is so big. He's so big. I'm like, you're so right, Peter. He's so much bigger than I can understand or fathom. I mean, he can speak forth planets and stars. This guy's powerful. So I want to look at that. God has power to heal the sick. God has power to forgive us of all our sin. God has power over nature. And God has the power to redeem anyone who has gone astray. You believe that this morning? This is what God can do. So we're going to talk about praying and having prayer of faith. What's the object of the faith? So let's look at this briefly together. So God has the power to heal the sick. So James starts off, I love how simple and practical James is. Is any of you suffering? Other translations, any of you hurting? Let him pray. And I'm just going to pause right here. I'm not going to ask the raised hands, but are any of you hurting this morning? Are any of you suffering? Are any of you in a place of difficulty? Take a moment to pause and pray. And I actually want to do this together because you can expound on what does prayer mean? We can just actually do this, which is awesome. We can apply it. I want to have a moment just to quietly just talk to God. List anything that's weighing you down. List anything that you feel like is hurting in your life, relationally, financially, whatever, or maybe you feel like you're suffering. I want you just to briefly just let God know what it is, offload it on him, and then just take a moment to listen to God, what he might want to say to you in return. Are you guys with me? I'm just going to take a moment, so let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you care for us. And God, thank you that you speak to us, Lord. We just want to list and share these things with you. So take a moment just to quietly pray, and then we'll move on. Thank you, Lord, that we can cast our burdens to you because you care for us. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you speak to us, Lord. For those who just feel like the Lord spoke a word to you or encouragement, God, we just want to say thank you. Let's hold on to the things that God's speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you're able to offload some things. It seems so simple. So sometimes we can live our lives so busy and frantic that just to take a moment to just acknowledge, God, this is really hard in my life. This is really difficult. I personally can find it really easy to complain about difficulties. Anyone with me? Quick to complain, not quick to pray. But the Lord, I think, is inviting us deeper. Is any of you suffering? Boom. Let him pray. If any of you are cheerful and joyful, you can start praying, but this I put maybe a little tune to it. Start singing praises, right? Sometimes you're in a season of just plenty and beauty, and you're just like, oh, look at all this, but let's not forget the one who provides every good gift. God, may you be magnified. Lord, would you be glorified. Jesus, would you be lifted high. All heaven declares the name of Jesus all day, night, and day long. God, I want to be part of that, Lord. Let me not get focused only on the things that I see. James continues talking about that God has the power to heal. And specifically an invitation. If you're sick, invite the elders. That word also can mean pastors. We use the word pastor and elder kind of back and forth. But yeah, invite the leaders that pray for you, and then specifically using a custom of anointing with oil, to pray in his name. Now, This is pretty cool. The most powerful part of this sentence, like you see, there's definitely like the gift of leadership, which James is acknowledging. There's also the anointing of oil, symbolism. But the most powerful part of that sentence is praying in the name of Jesus. Amen? Name of Jesus. We were singing that, and I hope you're owning that this morning. We were singing that in the name of Jesus. People are healed. People are saved. The dead comes back to life in the name of Jesus. We're going to have an opportunity at the end of the service. If you're here and you have sickness and you need a place of healing, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus that you would be healed. Because God has the power to heal the sick. And to keep us moving, God has the power to forgive us of all our sins. Not only can Jesus heal us of physical ailments as his will leads us, he has the power to forgive us of all our sins, all our dysfunction, all of our brokenness. So James is saying, hey, if you have sickness, pray that you be healed. But also, hey, there's sin issues. Know that God can handle that too. Do you believe that this morning? That God has the power to wipe away the sins and the consequences of it in Jesus' name because of what he's done on the cross. There was a time in the New Testament where Jesus was healing a paralytic man. And he was saying that your sins are forgiven. And then the religious leader's like, who are you that thinks you can forgive sins, right? Only God can do that. And then he's like, okay. He's like, well, just to show you that, you know, I have the power to heal or to forgive. It's like, I also command this man to get up and walk. It's a paralytic man, got up and walked. There's a great example of Jesus offering forgiveness to someone for their sins, but also rise up and walk. And he got up, a paralytic man who's never walked before. Because of what Jesus can do. He has the power to forgive sins. He has the power to forgive your sins. And that is miraculous. I saw a fun quote on Facebook this past week, which is just a cool reminder. I forget who the quote was by. But essentially, if your sins were 100 times worse than what they are now, God's love would still cover all of them. Amen? Your sins were 100 times worse. So some of us were really aware that we're like, we've done wrong. And the other of us, we're just not really acknowledging that. But God has died for all of our sins that we might be made new in him. I'm going to keep us moving. God has the power to control nature. He gives an example of how in the Old Testament, if you want to have a really fun reading this afternoon or this week, read 1 Kings 17 and 18. You want to see God moving just miraculous ways, kind of build up the faith that, wow, God, you're a lot bigger than what I can see or imagine. 1 Kings 17 to 18, there's a king who was not honoring God, and so the Lord led Elijah to pray that it would not rain, and a drought came for 3.5 years, and this would have been a well-known story to the Jewish Christians, Messianic Jews who were receiving this. And in 17 to 18, it talks about the rain not stopping. I love how, I don't know where Jill is, Jill might be in here, but Jill, how you use this story that goes right after that. Because right after that, there's a drought that the Lord has just brought about. And now he's providing unlimited oil and flour to the widow and her son, who were asked to bring a meal. Jill just talked about that. Several days later, the widow's son dies from a sickness. You might remember this. And Elijah comes. And so, God's controlling the drought, he's controlling provision, and now there's a death of a son. Elijah comes, and through the power of God, the dead son lives again. That's the power of God. He can control nature, he can control provisions, he can bring the dead back to life. This is what God does. If that blows your mind, or if you're having trouble with that, just realize that God's a lot bigger than anything or anyone we can imagine. He eventually prays, and then if everything comes back, that drought also comes back. If you want to look into these texts, go into there for time. I'm not going to go deeper, but there's an awesome kind of power show off between there's one true God and the prophets of Baal, and God just shows up in an amazing, powerful way. God has the power to heal the sick. God has the power to forgive all our sins. God has the power to control nature. Jesus was once with his disciples, and he said, let's go to the other side of the lake. And they got in a boat. They're going in the lake. Jesus falls asleep. It's awesome. Like, sleep in a boat. That sounds like a really nice thing to do right now. But Jesus falls asleep in a boat, and a big storm comes up. Disciples are freaking out. Think they're going to die. They've seen storms before, but must not have seen storms like this. They wake up Jesus, and Jesus is like, oh, you little faith. And he speaks to the storm. Peace. And the storm completely just becomes still and completely goes away. Jesus is able to do far more than we can imagine or think. God also has the power to redeem anyone who has fallen away. And he gives this example that if there's those who've known the truth and fallen away, the encouragement is, let us go after those who have maybe fallen away. Let us care for those who maybe have gone away from what they once knew. It reminds me when Jesus is talking in Luke 15 about a sheep that went away from the shepherd. He had 100, one went away, he left the 99 to go after one. If we did the back to school fair and only one kid showed up, that would still be a great use of the resources to love the one. There's a whole lot more that came up. But let us not forget about the one. I had a friend who drove 45 minutes to teach Sunday school. We're talking about needs for junior church, essentially the same thing. He's teaching junior church. 45 minutes he drove from like Rochester towards Buffalo, I think it was Batavia, to teach a Sunday school with one child who was 6 years old in it. 45 minutes to teach. I used to think in my head, what a waste of time. You should be teaching more people than just one. But then God showed me that one matters so much. Jesus would leave the 99 and go after one. What a great use of his time to drive an hour and a half, be a poor college student, use his gas resources to teach one kid about the love of Jesus. God cares so much for each one of you, those on our college campuses, in the community, and around the world. Let's not forget about the one. In Luke 15, it also talks about a son who left his father. He knew the truth, he was around the truth, he left. And he went away and did crazy living. This is referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. The older son, which the parable is a parable, so you track what Jesus says, but the older son just complained about his younger sibling. It would have been awesome if the older son went after the younger son. Right? Or the younger brother, I should say. God, your father still loves you. Our father still loves you. You haven't gone too far back. You spent all your money and all your resources, and he said he's dead to you, but let you know that you're still alive in his heart, and he's waiting. But the older son decided just to complain about it and stay where his father was. And he missed on the opportunity of joining in on his father's mission. James is encouraging believers, if you see someone going astray, instead of just complaining about them, judging them from a distance, go after them, pray for them. Ask the Lord, how can I invite them back to know you? Because God will leave the 99 to go for the one. Just want to talk about a couple ways God works today, and then we're going to wrap up. Our God works miracles still today. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen. He still works miracles. He's still alive. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. We change, culture changes, sin issues, nations, whatever, but it's just a constant. Like, you can bet your whole life on it. It's just a rock foundation. A couple quick things. When my wife Crystal was younger, I believe it was when she was high school, she had a friend, good friend, who, and I mentioned this before, I just love it though, who could not see color, was colorblind. And she was praying, and I love this story, because it's a high school student. Any high school students in here, right? A high school student, filled with the Spirit, prayed for her friend who could not see color, prayed, started to see color. Prayed again, full color. That's what the power of Jesus can do to heal. And I was a high school student. When I was at Bible school in Rochester, I love the quote, it's really fun. There's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. Right? So young people right here, all around, you know Christ, the Holy Spirit can work through you. You can see your friends, see vision again, right? If you have family members or parents who are sick, pray for them. Ask that the Lord would heal them, right? Because remember, it's not the person, it's the person you're praying to, amen? Jesus, pray, Mom and Dad, would you get better, Lord? Would that stomach ache or maybe that shoulder? I just pray for healing. And just be open to watch miracles happen. Young people, be encouraged. If God wants to use you now. You don't have to wait till 18 to be used by Jesus, right? You don't have to be 21 to be used by Jesus. Or maybe wait till 30. God can use you now. Remember praying for a friend in college who threw out his back, terribly lifting like way more weight than he should have in a gym. Prayed for him. Did not think he would get healed. Had faith of a half of a mustard seed, maybe. And his back got restored instantaneously. 2 weeks ago, I had permission to share this. Carol Hoyt, who's here, had terrible leg pain, really bad leg pain. She asked one of the pastors to come pray for her, and the leg pain went away instantaneously. Glory to God, right? Is that guy awesome? I'm like, come on. I'm like, man, God, you are still alive and active today. These aren't just stories of old. We're like, hey, champions, these can be realities today in your life. 2 weeks ago, I had an opportunity to hear about, I haven't seen it, but to hear about this movie. Has anyone seen this movie called Breakthrough? Maybe just a couple people. I haven't even seen it yet, so I can't really recommend it. But I got to hear about the story behind it. So the story behind this movie, just like the theaters, I think a month or two ago, is about a mother whose son, like the picture, fell through the ice and died. He had 27 medical professionals look to try to resuscitate and get this young boy back to life. And all 27 medical professionals verified that he is dead and there was no hope. But then the mother, after an hour after he had died, they wouldn't let her into the hospital room, but she tried and tried. Eventually she got into the room because, like, we don't want you to see this. Went in and prayed through the power of the Holy Spirit that her son would be brought back to life. Put her hands on him, prayed for him. The monitors come back on for his vitals. He came back to life. The nurses who were there said there was some type of like wind or movement that pushed them back. They also noted that the temperature rose in the room on the thermostat, that God had came in some powerful way and brought this young man back to life. So this is actually based on a true story. I had the awesome privilege of actually meeting the family 2 weeks ago in person. Joyce is right there. Justin's right in the middle. That was a young boy who died and was brought back to life. And then Jason over there is her pastor. He's over in Rochester. I haven't seen the movie, but to hear a mom talk about praying for her son and the Holy Spirit coming and bringing him back to life, and then hearing the son get to talk about how he had a lot of anger issues and different things. He didn't even know Jesus before all this happened. But to see what happened, I'm like, God, you have the power to do a whole lot more than we can think. Amen? A whole lot more. And if you think, like, can God really raise the dead like he did for Elijah? Or you might have read about Elijah when he had died. There were some people who were digging a grave, and some raiders came in. They threw the dead body on Elijah's bones. He came back to life. Like, things will just blow your mind. You're trying to get a calculated spreadsheet version of Jesus. It's not going to work. Our God will do stuff that will glitch your mind. You're like, no, you don't work like that. You have to look, no, it has to be like that. The greatest miracle Ed already talked about is not just physically being brought back from the dead. Because eventually, even people who are brought back from the dead will die again. Not to be a downer. Just the way it works out. The greatest miracle is having new resurrected life because of God bringing back his son Jesus from the dead. That is the greatest miracle. God gave victory over death, over the devil, and sin in our lives, that if we trust in him, we can have new life, and that life is for all eternity. So I want to invite up the musicians at this time. As they're coming up, we're going to have one more song, and we're going to have an opportunity. A bunch of people will be up here to pray. But if there's areas in your life, you have sickness, you have a health problem, or whatever, I just believe that God wants to do miracles this morning here in our midst. None of the people praying up here are like some type of like superheroes like you see in Marvel or DC. We're ordinary people that believe in a God of miracles. I pray this would be more than just words, but a declaration from our heart.